Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Unpack your knives and stay. Yes, stay, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the RAGP Top Chef Roundtable. I'm Haley Strong. I am joined by a fantastic panel, per usual. LaTanya, how are you doing this week?
You know, just chilling like a villain, really.
What have you been up to?
Getting shots and just kind of like living life. Just surviving, basically.
Good.
And watching gymnastics.
And thriving?
No.
No. Okay. Cool.
No.
Kurt, what up, buddy?
Yeah, living the dream. Living the dream.
I mean, at least you guys can leave your homes legally. Yeah.
I did a citywide mystery game yesterday where you had like teams of like anywhere from 1 to 6 people, and you used you download this app on your phone, and it showed you like where there were like suspects you could interview and clues you could pick up, but it was like in the map of your city. So that was my day yesterday.
That actually sounds fun. My mystery tour of my city is usually me driving around.
Yes.
Because I forgot what it is I left the house for.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I get back to my house and remember, and then I have to leave again.
My city is just a mystery to me. That sounds like a fun thing for white nonsense.
Yeah. There were a lot of people dressed up like Daphne, Velma, and Shaggy. Not a lot of Freds.
That's cute. Any Scoobies or any Shaggies? Shaggy-Doo? Scooby-Doo? Scrappy-Doo?
Scrappy-Doo. Some people had their dogs with them. Some people had like a stuffed Scooby in their backpack. Some people dressed up as characters from Clue. I just wore shorts and a t-shirt.
Kurt, what's your favorite Clue character?
Oh boy. I would have to, it has to be Mrs. White. Has to be. Just from Madeline Kahn from the movie. Like,
yeah. That's one of my favorite movies. And I like 7 movies.
I was going to say, you only like Notting Hill from what I've heard.
I only like Notting Hill and Clue.
Okay.
I've never seen Notting Hill before. Don't look at me like that.
No, I'm looking at you like as like a sign of respect.
Okay. That's good. Was anyone actually murdered during this?
No. The funny thing is, I think this is put on by a group out of the UK where they don't even actually have to go to the city. It's all literally, it uses a local map and geolocation. And so as you like approach a particular, you see where locations are on the map. And as you approach it, then something will pop up on your phone. You kind of just read what you discover and you can question suspects. And maybe they have a local contact, so they don't actually like steer you into like bad parts of town.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, a ghost villa.
It just seems like this is the type of game that would be perfect for an actual serial killer to infiltrate. That's all.
Except it was like during the middle of the day and there was like literally like about like 50 or 60 teams walking around. So you could always tell like, oh, there must be something here because there were like clusters of people looking at their phones and talking to each other at like specific areas.
But it was fun. That Chicago.
Yeah, we actually solved the murder. It was fun.
Who did it?
I don't want to spoil it.
Was it you?
Do it in their city. It wasn't me. No.
Is it What, it wasn't all yesterday? Like everybody said he wasn't yesterday?
No, I think that it looks, it's a company, well, I'll plug them. They're called Clued Up, but an up is spelled with two P's for some reason, but they run this in cities all around the world at different times. And it was, we did the Jack the Ripper experience. I know just from interacting in some gaming groups on Facebook that like, it's coming to their city. So just in case, but it's, it was fun.
I'm going to find an event. What's my postal code? I'm not saying that on the podcast because je ne veux pas get murdered.
Canada's one postal code.
It looks like there's going to be one in the falls on October 2nd. There's no better way for me to spend the eve of my first wedding anniversary than doing this, I would think.
Which one is it?
The Ripper.
Oh, okay. Yeah. See, I won't spoil it.
There's one in Buffalo in July, which is technically closer to my
October
house.
October 3 would be like nice weather for this, too. It was a little warm yesterday here.
Yeah.
So Top
Shot. July's too hot. Oh, right.
Who cares? No, I'm just kidding. You know what? Okay, good news. I was able to watch Last Chance Kitchen.
Oh.
No thanks to foodnetworkcanada.ca, who has finally stopped advertising that you're going to be able to watch Last Chance Kitchen on their website. Thanks to YouTube, I was able to watch it. Bad news, since I watched the episode, I've been thinking that I've missed something. Not missed something, but I've...
You did. It was an hour and 15-minute episode. Jesus. You did miss something.
Anyway, I could not remember what the quickfire was.
Oh, yeah, there wasn't one.
There wasn't one.
So I've been stressing myself out for no reason.
You could just text us to ask.
But I didn't want to look dumb.
It was definitely a Canadian edit. Like, did you see Byron talking to his family at home?
Yes. So I was like, well, Byron's gone.
Maybe you missed some of the shopping pre-Whole Foods. Did you see the Whole Foods shopping?
I don't think I saw the Whole Foods shopping, but I did see like when they got to go look at candles.
Okay. Yeah, they got to shop in Whole Foods in person.
Oh, I didn't see that part. I saw the farm. I thought that was ballin'. Yeah. Didn't see Whole Foods in person.
Whole Foods wasn't that riveting, frankly.
Yeah, so I'm kind of almost thankful for the Canadian edit at this point.
I think that they like basically closed the store so that they could shop in person.
Maria basically said that she was so excited that they could finally actually go into Whole Foods.
And spend money that wasn't her own money. Yeah.
I love Maria.
I love Maria.
MVP. I absolutely love this episode.
Yes.
I love this challenge. I've never been like the biggest Restaurant Wars person, although I do think it's integral to the show. And I don't think that Chef's Table should replace Restaurant Wars, but I do want a Chef's Table challenge every season because this was brilliant.
I would be happy with this replacing Restaurant Wars. I would be happy with us not. I think one of the reasons I liked this more than Restaurant Wars was we didn't have to deal with people yelling at waitstaff and trying to train them. Yeah. I was like, that's always like the thing that's least in your control is like how you can do so much training, but if there's just not a, these people are, I think the waitstaff are put in like such a, I think, unfair position anyway for like that quick, because the chefs aren't going to give them the time that is needed because they have to pay attention to their dishes. And anyway, loved the chef's table setup. Maybe you do it at 10, maybe you do it at 6. I don't know if you don't want to replace Restaurant Wars, but I would not be mad.
I thought it was brilliant. I loved this.
I loved it, but you know what I wasn't a super huge fan of was the edit of it. Because it was just so obvious.
Oh, well, so I wonder if they just couldn't edit.
That's what I was going to say. I was just like, was the other team just so like plan, no plan, that there was nothing that they could do?
I think so. I feel like we do get that in Restaurant Wars pretty often where it feels obvious which team is going to lose and which team is going to win. But I didn't think it was obvious who was going to go home, really.
I was worried for Dawn early on. I'm guessing you were too, LaTanya, in terms of some before the food was served. Like there was a lot of she's not talking to us.
Yeah, did not have a plan.
Right.
She's got to create. Like she's definitely an artiste because she's got like a whole creative process that involves talking to no one, which I can respect, frankly.
While podcasting. I actually was a little worried for Gabe at one point before, again, before they even went into the kitchen. Some of like, he seemed very kind of like nonchalant about the whole thing. Like, oh, we'll just work it out. We'll just, and I thought that was going to come and bite them. I didn't see until Sarah's dishes were served. I didn't even have her pegged as going home. So for me, it was more a mystery of who I was pretty sure which team was going to go home. And then after the service, I was like, is there any way it's not Sarah? But
I think because I love Sarah so much, I deluded myself into thinking that it could have been Gabe or Chris.
I thought it might be Chris, but I, because that's like, Zirka. Oh, right. Yeah, the asking for a second one of those is...
After you've had like 15 courses.
I respect it.
Yeah, that would go Dale. So we got Christian Kish.
Oh my God.
I mean, are they trying to kill us?
I have a legitimate question.
Yes.
Why? Like, okay. What have I done wrong? Like, why don't I ever get invited to these dinners? Did I make someone mad? Like, I want to know what's up.
A, you don't live in Portland.
Okay. Yeah.
It's full stop.
That's it. That's the only qualifier is you don't live in Portland.
I am kicking myself that I didn't try to do more, like that I didn't actively seek out when they did it in LA, that I didn't actively seek out a way to be somehow get on one of these lists. And I would have loved that. But I think step one is it has to come to Chicago.
Okay. I'm just waiting for the cold call to be like, hey, this is Padma.
Yeah. Haley, you went to something, didn't you?
I was blessed. I went to go visit a friend in LA a couple of years ago, and it just happened to be when Top Chef California was filming, and she knew somebody, and we got to go to a dinner, and not like a full dinner. We got to go to one of the pop-up restaurants for that week.
That's amazing.
And we were, we were there when the judges were there. So I saw Padma in real life, and she's so beautiful. And you can see me in the background, kind of.
Ooh.
Nice.
I'm going to have to watch this episode.
It's like, the second episode of Top Chef California.
How did we like seeing the return of Kristen?
I mean, I was thrilled.
Yeah.
I've been ready to get some new blood in.
It's funny. It's a little bit like being bit by a zombie. It's like once you've turned, you're just part of the group because no one leaves.
Which is like, fine by me. I'm fine with no one leaving. I just want...
It's like they're in the quarantine. They're in the quarantine bubble. Like they just stay there till the end of the show. Like Carrie showed up a little bit late. She's now there every week.
Yeah.
Melissa King showed up a little bit late. She's there now every week.
Thank God.
So it's like, you can't wait for, you know, the inevitable, you know, Brooke sighting, and she'll be there every week, hopefully.
Love
but
it.
I'm guessing it's more of like I think
Stephanie Samar is supposed to show up at some point.
Oh, wow.
Mm. Kristen is too attractive. So
that's, I feel like every woman on this show is too attractive.
It's just not okay. Like this is not America's Next Top Model. This is Top Chef. And I'm annoyed, frankly, for the rest of us.
Well, it's America's Next Top Chef. So it's close. So they divide the teams by a coin flip.
I hated that.
Yeah, that was it. Why?
Why did I hate it?
No, just a why at the show. Like, they said it was a Portland tradition.
I feel like they're making up a lot of stuff about Portland.
What are you talking about?
Well, no, they had said in a previous episode that, you know, the name of Portland was decided on a flip of a coin. It was going to be either Portland or might have been, I think, was Boston the other option. Naming it after East Coast towns. And so that was a callback to something that was discussed earlier.
Right.
It's basically the same as having, you know, knife draw.
You
want drafting?
I want a knife draw, but only two knives have the sticker on it, and then they pick the team. That's what I like.
Okay.
But I don't think these teams would have been created if not for the coin flip. And the winning team in particular was so unbelievably brilliant that I do feel emotional when I think about we could have been robbed from that of that team.
Oh yeah, I was so glad that that team was put together, and it just so happened that they had like two different, all four of them between them had two different cultural influences that they were thought that it would just fuse together well, and it did.
It just worked.
Yeah, and like there was not an official on the captain. But Shota freaking stepped it up, I thought. Like in my rewatch, I was like trying, like keeping an eye out for, he was the one that was like, everybody was contributing to it, but he was the one that was keeping people calm and kind of pushing things forward. I'm not saying, I believe Maria won for the team fair and square, but in terms of like who was kind of like silently keeping everything in check, I was like, Shota did amazing.
And they worked so well. They communicated. Yeah. I loved when Maria was like over-communicate, because that's, how I like to be with teams. Like, I want to have a plan going in. I want to have, like, I'm glad they had a meeting, like, before the judges arrived. Like, these are organizational tools that are necessary and need to happen, or else I'm going to spend the entire episode just the way that I did, which was, I felt like I was going to vomit the entire time. I was so nervous.
I was, too. The moment I was going to say the red team because they're highlighted in red because they lost on Kurt's document. The moment that Team Penny was like, we're going with no plan, I was like, that does not work.
And even Sarah recognized that, like, you know, just, you know, having a single theme where everyone does their own interpretation of it doesn't hang together well.
And well, especially when it's as broad as seafood.
Oh, yeah. And then there was not a single seafood. And not a single piece of cooked fish the entire seven courses.
There was fish skin.
There was octopus. But it was like, okay.
Theme is seafood. What's the restaurant's name? Seafood.
Where Kokosin's menu was just so like I was so enthralled by it. I love that they immediately were like, let's kind of do a Kisaki kind of style menu. We did see that style last season, which was really nice. Yeah. Because they had to do seven courses, and that fits perfectly with that kind of menu style. I loved it. And then it gave them not only a theme, but then like sub themes that they had to fit within. And because Shota knows that style so well, he was able to kind of guide the dishes. But Byron and Maria and Jamie were still able to bring their style of food to these interpretations of the dishes. And it was just, it just worked so brilliantly. This was probably my favorite menu I've ever seen on Top Chef.
And Gail going through, I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to that. I'm really looking forward to that.
Like, this is my favorite.
This is on there. That's great. That's my favorite. Yeah. It's,
We were all Gail in that moment, I think.
Yeah. There was no, like you said, Latanya, there was no surprise as to which team was going to win coming out of the first. I just didn't see a way the second team could even match without even. It was like they were tasting each other's food. They were like, and they were catching things like, oh, there's this need, like Maria telling Shota this needed more acidity. And he's like, oh, yeah, I forgot to put this one element in. And the extent to which the other team was not engaging at all with the chef's table. And like they even say, like going like this is your chance. You go there because you feel like a VIP when you're sitting there. Mm-hmm. And there was
just a tension in Penny that just was completely broken by Maria and Kokosan. I thought Maria was brilliant. Yeah.
They were just focused on the in tech they talk about the minimum viable product, like what's the minimum thing that can be put out there and function, but then above that there's the minimum lovable product, which is like it works but also I really kind of like it too. And that's something that was the difference between the two kitchens is, you know, the food was good. I mean, there were definitely more missteps on the food in the second kitchen with Penny, but like, just, did you feel special there? No. So like I said, they felt awkward. And even the point where Don and Sarah were saying, should we go talk to them? Like, I don't know. This feels...
probably hear you because you can hear them.
You're like, 7 feet
right
away.
There.
Oh, we go that was talk so... to them was,
it was really bad.
That did induce anxiety. And I just... sometimes I do feel like chefs understand that service is like an integral part of dining, but they don't actually know how to dole it out. Like they don't know how to serve. They don't know how to how to make that experience. They just know how to make the food. And I think Maria just really balanced that well. I do watch the previews. So when I saw the previews last week and Maria was kind of being sassy with them, there was like a music change. I was like, ooh, but they loved it because that's exactly who Maria is.
And I don't know if it was like, if Padma had like a couple drinks in there or not, but
well, she Maria says, was pouring tequila pretty heavily. Yeah,
but when Padma, like, to me, like this, I would have guessed this was frowned upon amongst the top chef judgery. But when Padma like basically says to Maria, I just want to let you know you're effing killing it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like I enjoyed seeing, I was surprised to see it, but I liked seeing it because Maria, especially because Maria's kind of been down on herself like several weeks in terms of either just her kind of like doubting herself and a little bit in terms of some comparison to some of the others. Mm-hmm. But then I also liked at the start of this episode, she was saying that there's a lot of talent on the other team, but you know what? I don't care.
Yeah, I know. That was great.
She's like, this, I'm just going to be me. And it worked. So I was so happy to see that she won with the service.
And even looking at like the dish preps, Coco-san had so many dishes that were created by multiple people where Penny, it was one hand on a dish. Mm. So let's get into these menus. Why don't we, where would we like to start? The winning team, so we can be joyous about what we're talking about, or the losing team, so we can get it over with.
Let's do it in order. Let's start with the starting team.
So of course, Coco-san featured Shota, Maria, Byron, and Jamie. Their first dish was made by Shota and Maria. They made an eggplant with sesame mole and ham furikake. Nice. Yeah.
Eggplant, check. Ham, check.
And also, and I like the fact like this was something that it was combining Shota's, like, you know, the Kaseki, you know, take on eggplant, but also he was bringing in Maria's sesame mole. I mean, this was like one of those like fusion dishes and that approach that kind of carried throughout many of the dishes. So I liked that this dish kind of set up a frame of reference for all the dishes to come as well.
For the second course, Byron and Jamie made cured sockeye salmon with ricotta, curry sauce, and crispy quinoa.
Okay.
Lovely.
This dish had more like actual cooked salmon than the other team did, and they were safety cooked.
You are not wrong. Maria's third dish, I was very interested by because it seems so simple, but the judges were like, excuse me, you're serving me a finger sandwich. And then they're like, oh my God, that is the best finger sandwich. A beef lengua sando with pickled mustard, onions, and dipping sauce.
I definitely would have tried this.
Yeah, I've never had tongue before.
I haven't either, but like that's about as much as I want.
There's a restaurant in Vegas in the Cosmopolitan called China Poblano, which is a fusion of Chinese. It's actually, I say there's a Chinese kitchen and there's a Mexican kitchen. There actually aren't a lot of actual, there's a small handful of fusion items on the menu. It's actually very, almost like, there's like a couple tacos that have some Asian flair and like some noodle dishes that have a kind of Mexican flair to them. But for the most part, they're separate kitchens, but they do have a tongue. One of the tacos there is a tongue taco that I've had several times, and it's so good. I would have been all over the sandwich.
For the fourth dish, Shota made a lotus root shiso with chopped rockfish and ume paste. This was cool. They made a lot of cool looking dishes.
They really did. They were like just beautiful, just gorgeous dishes coming out too. Which can't be said for a lot of the stuff that happened on the other team, unfortunately.
Yeah, this was definitely, I think also one of the differences is with this from previous Restaurant Wars is this really got framed up as supposed to be like fine dining, which isn't necessarily what Restaurant Wars has had to be in the past. So you see a lot of people kind of end up going that route. But I think this was a progressive 7-course meal, even like the other team even technically did 8 courses if you got the amuse-bouche. But there was some like amazing looking stuff. And they could, luckily because they weren't, you know, with Restaurant Wars, you typically get your choice of entree. Here they could focus on one, they could focus on a single dish for each course and nail it and perfect it and make it beautiful. So that is, I think, another upside of seeing this chef's table version.
For the fifth course, Jamie and Byron teamed up to make short rib with Colby glaze, quail egg, puff rice, and salsa marita. Again, this just looked phenomenal.
That looks so good.
Oh, that Colby glaze would have got me. And I've had quail egg and meat with meat a couple of times, and it's been really rich. And this was, please more. Please more of this. Just more.
Please more.
For the sixth dish, it was a team dish, and I literally gasped when this came on screen. And it was the hot pot with shrimp and seafood broth, and it's just
it was like dancing. It was beautiful.
I was like, how are they doing that?
I rewound it. I was just like, what is going on? This is fantastic, and I want it. And like, imagine them opening those pots in front of you. It must have just been overwhelmingly delicious to smell.
And I like Byron's point, like, this really is about all of us. This dish exemplifies like all of us coming together, and it seemed like it would have been a great last course, except that kind of had to be dessert. So I love that they did this, and it looked like they were just like, I can remember like three or four tureens of this soup just kind of scattered across the table. And it's one of those things I could have seen me just like, well, this is the last course, the second to last, the last one's probably dessert. I'll just keep filling up my dish until all this is gone. Like, because dessert's a separate stomach. I can just keep eating this until I'm full.
Yes. The separate stomach theory.
Theory. Please.
Practice. Yeah, I thought this was just brilliant. I love that they all literally had their hands in the pot on this one. Uh-huh. For the seventh dish, Jamie and Byron made a tres leches steam cake with coconut condensed milk and pineapple. I don't think this is normally something that would draw me, but this looks stunning, and everyone loved it.
Yeah, people were quite happy. I'm glad that the desserts were good, because typically you get a restaurant warsy challenge and like the person that made the desserts is done for.
Yeah, and there was even going into this, at least more for maybe for Team Penny, there wasn't like a lot of excitement around doing a dessert, but they've been nailing the desserts this season.
They have,
especially here. I would have been interested to try this. Not a big fan of coconuts. I think I could do coconut condensed milk. It's more like the texture of shredded coconut, I think, that gets me. Mm-hmm. So I think, but the flavor of coconut, like, I'll drink pina coladas all day. Literally have drank pina coladas all day. I would.
You better be careful about that. Coconut, if that much coconut, stomach issues.
I was like, pause. Tell me more.
The reason of.
Gotta be careful.
Gotta be careful about drinking pina coladas all day.
Those things.
Switch it up with a margarita or a daiquiri every once in a drink. You know what my bad thing is? Like, I'll get shots of tequila, and then I won't like take them as a shot. I'll just keep it in my hand as a sipping tequila.
Why is that bad?
That's when I know I've had too much to drink, is when I start sipping tequila.
Sipping your tequila. There are sipping tequilas.
Yeah,
I know.
With like, it's called good tequila. Like, with good tequila, you're supposed to sip it.
I'm sorry. Yeah. What are you talking? What?
What are you saying about?
I just paid off my student loan. You think I'm buying good tequila yet?
I don't know what's funnier, paying off your student loan or buying good tequila.
One of the many joys of Canada.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Choose wisely.
Well, at least both of you have your vaccines, and can leave the house. What a thrill that must be.
Still not gonna.
We already did that. Yeah, so this was a great menu. It was perfect. It was beautiful. I love Padma's Bob.
Bob was doing work because like it's usually way sleeker. There were flat irons involved, I think, normally, and this time there may have been a curling iron doing a bump.
What about Tom's purple suit?
You know what? Tom wasn't nearly as active in this particular meal. Like, maybe he was just enjoying the food so much.
Possibly. Plus, there's like a lot of kind of crosstalk probably going on. So they had to kind of pick and choose where they focused the the microphone. But no, yeah, he was a little bit more, not standoffish, but he wasn't as present. I think we got a lot of, the guest judges. Mm-hmm. We got a lot of Gail, which was actually kind of fun.
Gail was great. Yeah. She was having a lovely time.
I think Gail had some sipping tequila going on.
Gail. So did Kale.
Oh.
It's okay. I called you Kristen earlier. Because I was thinking about Kristen Kitsch.
You called me Kristen?
I did.
You know, on the podcast?
I did.
I missed that. Well, if you squint a little bit and kind of look to the left, then it's like, maybe.
I could not pull off the haircut. I do not have the features.
I think you could. I don't know. We'll have to meet up in Michigan for some smelt tipping and like just make some changes to our hair.
Can't wait.
You remembered the smelt dipping.
How can I forget? It's the only thing I know about Michigan except the hand thing in you. Which sounds weird. So let's move on. Okay.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
So petty. This felt shit showy.
Why did they name it Penny again? I mean, I know Gabe's daughter's Penny.
Partially because of they tossed a penny to decide the team.
By the way, I would not have caught that penny the way they tossed it to Don. I would have, like, 9 times out of 10, I would have dropped it if they tossed me a coin to flip at the very beginning.
You guys still have pennies? That's dumb. Just kidding. We don't have pennies anymore. We got rid of them.
I was going to say, sorry, we can't have the queen on all of our money.
Or birds.
Or birds.
Or moose. Although,
I guess an eagle counts, but never mind.
Or queen's kind of a bird. Yeah. No bird. No.
Slang. I'm picking up what you're putting down. But Team Penny.
So Gabe made the amuse-bouche, which is an heirloom corn tostado with I'm not even going to say that. That seems rude. Oyster and cured snapper.
Oh, come on.
A fat bastard oyster and cured snapper.
Get in my belly.
Okay. Everyone
needed this.
Well, I mean, it was more of a bouche than a muse, right? Like, it was so big.
It was bouchy, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, I think they were saying that they could have actually done the first course. It was a little bit more amuse-bouche than the amuse-bouche was. They could have actually swapped the first two of the 8 dishes.
And then in the actual first course, Don made a warm crop salad and corn puff and island coconut sauce. Everyone loved this across the board.
That's when I knew Don was safe.
Yeah.
I do think
as soon as she added a heat element to it, she shouldn't have been the first course.
But no, who knew what who knew what she was going to, I mean,
that's tough.
Everybody should have known what she was going to do.
I felt bad for the team. Like, I am a Dawn defender, you know, till the end of my days. But I did feel really bad for the team, because even when they're like deep into the cooking and they're like, so what are you doing over there, Dawn? She's like, still figuring it out. You know, it's going to get there.
Yeah, I don't think anybody, I think there were several missteps on this, and especially in terms of individual dishes and lack of engagement. Well, I guess individual, let's start with individual dishes. I think that's what ended up sending Sarah home and what was the primary, you know, decision maker. But in terms of like engaging with the diners, that was a failure across the board.
Yeah.
And in terms of it being a cohesive, progressive menu, that was a failure across the board as well. I mean, Dawn didn't help
the menu.
Yeah. And Dawn didn't help manners by, like, it's hard to have a progressive menu where it flows from one to another when you don't know what like the first course is even going to be. So the lack of cohesion though wasn't just there. It was like at several points through the menu where things should have probably been in a different order or changed up. But
it's one of those situations where you have to leave yourself enough time to do what the other team did. You have to leave yourself enough time to have that tasting and have that like meeting to be like, okay, maybe we need to change the order up a little bit. How about we just not show them menus, maybe?
And I was trying to figure out what was like the time space configuration of all both kitchens. Like, were the kitchens near each other? Were they? I don't think they were in the, like, I was thinking one possibility, and it could have been an editing trick, was that they were in the same. This could have been across two different days.
I very much thought that was the case. And I still think it was the case, but somebody asked Tom on Twitter, like, was that on two separate days? And he said, no. Huh. Do I believe that? I'm not really sure.
Oh, you're doubting Tom?
Or even like, was it like they have the first one in like mid afternoon and then they have to like clean up. Like, I didn't look
maybe.
Close enough to speak, it was the same space, but they weren't right next to each other.
Like, it wasn't like a consecutive one. Right. And there was no need for it to be, really.
I thought one of them occurred in a pocket dimension that had been created by a witch, but I've been watching WandaVision, so.
That's not possibility. Out of the realm of possibility.
I mean, it could be right.
It could have been true. It looked like it was a large enough building where it literally could have been on the clear on the other side of the building so that and you would definitely want, though, for there to be a digestion break.
I mean, no. I just, it's hard for me to believe that Dale is asking for a second dessert after literally, and I'm not kidding, 15 other courses.
Right. What are the most courses you guys have ever done?
Huh. Memories.
I don't know. Like, I really want to do a tasting menu like this. I am one of those little bitches that I get full real fast, but then I get hungry real fast. So, like, my tasting menu is, like, throughout the day where I eat four days.
I was gonna say, like,
six meals and seven snacks.
At 1 o'clock, I had popcorn. At 1:20, I had some Raisinets. At 1:30, I had a peach. That's kind of like,
progressive tasting menu.
Wow. I have not eaten.
I did the tasting menu at Nick Elmy and Eddie Conrad's restaurant. Well, it's Nick's restaurant. Eddie was on that night, but in Philly, Laurel. I want to say that was like 12 courses, maybe. And there was like a paired wine with each course. That was like one of the most spectacular dining experiences I've ever had. It was like over the course of 2 hours. It was everything was small enough where you were ready for the next thing.
I've done this. Like, I am a person of culture. I can't remember anything. There was this restaurant in Chicago. I don't know if you remember this. It was in
Charlie Trotter's?
No, Yoshi's. Do you ever hear of Yoshi's? It was in Boys Town.
Yes.
Yoshi has passed away. He was like a dear friend of like my first college debate coach and mentor, who has also passed away. But when the duck, who is what we call our debate coach, passed, he did like a menu in his honor that was like a progressive tasting menu. And it was just beautifully done and like so good. And it's like it was like a Japanese French fusion kind of restaurant.
I think I lived actually right around the corner from there in East Lake. And I think I got takeout from Yoshi's once.
Love Yoshi. Love Naboku. Naboku, love you. Hope you're doing well.
I think that this had to have been definitely later in the day. I even like was checking out if they're wearing the same clothes. You know, Padma still has the one shoulder thing.
Got the bump, Bob.
And Tom still has the purple suit. And so,
but like we've watched a season of Bake Off together, Kurt. Like they wear the same clothes for a whole weekend.
That's true.
Mm. Oh, production tricks. I see what you're saying. Huh. I guess we'll never know unless we find out.
Unless we become top chefs and then are able to be judges.
If only there was like a Top Chef Amateurs or something like that that could like
Kurt, I'm so shit at baking and cooking. I'm not even good enough to make the amateurs. Last night, hear me, I was gonna save this for later when we were doing our whatever. But I was trying to make oatmeal cookies.
Yes, the whatever segment.
I was trying to make oatmeal cookies, and then I realized halfway through I didn't have brown sugar, so I had to go to the store and get brown sugar. Then, when I was creaming the sugar and butter and all that stuff together, and I had to add the flour mixture, well, I was like, I'm so smart. I'm going to leave the stand mixer running while I just pour the flour mixture in. Guess what? Drop the cup in, so my poor plastic cup went blum, 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 blum in the stand mixer.
Now you sound like Jamie.
Then, turned that off. I was like, great, I'll save my cup. Things are going better. Then I try and put the oatmeal in, and then I turn my stand mixer back on. Accidentally put on two instead of one, so oatmeal went flying everywhere. Then, once the cookies were done, I realized I forgot to add the regular sugar. I put the brown sugar in, but forgot the white sugar. They still tasted great. Not gonna lie, but
good. Wow, that was a journey.
I was going to describe it as the same, and I was wondering if you were going to get to how the cookies tasted. They tasted fine.
They were so great, it sounds actually.
Like the, you know what? They probably tasted even better knowing what you went through to make them.
Mm,
yeah, because like the tears added the nice salt element you always need.
Exactly.
For the second course, Sarah made a halibut crudo with ajo blanco sauce and confit green tomato. Girl, I can make a prettier dish than this. I was truly flabbergasted at her presentation. I think if she was making the crudo, she should have put that on top of the sauce. But they said that the sauce was too heavy for the crudo anyway. So, like, what are you doing?
What are you doing, Sarah? I love green tomatoes, Sarah. Don't do it.
Just make a nice yogurt.
Yeah, just give them yogurt.
They love your yogurt.
Yeah. Entire course of yogurt.
Okay, hear me out. A progressive tasting menu of just yogurt.
Of just yogurts.
How do you feel?
Heard.
Okay, we start off with one of those little Yop bottles. Drinkable yogurts. That's the first course.
Right.
Then we move into like,
You gotta put, and then you can put it in a spoon because that's important. What you put it into. You can't just hand people a bottle of yogurt and be like, first course. No, you got to present it.
I guess you're right.
Yeah.
And then what would you finish with? Like a nice Greek yogurt? Oh, okay. For the dinner course, I'm serving a baked potato with Greek yogurt on it instead of sour cream, obviously.
Okay. It's just a baked potato. That's dinner.
I'm a fan of using
You're coming at me like you've never just had one single baked potato for dinner because you just couldn't emotionally make anything else. Am I alone in a one baked potato dinner? I think not.
I've probably done it at some point.
What? Nobody else has depression? Okay, sure.
It's just I just don't want to fuel the depression by eating a single baked potato. It's like eating is how I deal with depression, not how I sustain it.
trauma is how I sustain my depression.
Like if I'm like, I'll get like a pizza and like house the whole thing. That's what I do for my depressive state.
Put a baked potato on that pizza.
But I do approve of using the Greek yogurt as a sour cream substitute. I've done that with chili several times.
Well, here's my thing. I live in a household of me and one other person and one cat. The cat does not often partake in our dinners, so we just don't go through our ingredients.
But when the cat does, wow.
He does. Listen, he does love the yogurt. He loves anything creamy. Like, I'll eat ice cream, and he'll try and get his dumb little face, like, on the spoon so he can also lick the ice cream.
Aww.
It's adorable and manic. Anyway, so I like double duty ingredients, and I find that Greek yogurt I can just use for whatever I want.
See, there you go. Top Chef amateur.
Plain Greek yogurt, though, right?
Plain. One time, Ethan bought vanilla, and I was like, how are we supposed to put this on our potatoes?
Well, you start with a spoon.
And if you're depressed,
vanilla potatoes.
If you're depressed, potatoes. It doesn't matter.
No, it does not at all.
Anything that's like, life sucks. I have vanilla yogurt and baked potatoes. I guess I have to suffer through it and eat them together.
Just eat a plain potato, no fork, just ham potato.
Not cold.
I love a cold ham.
Not even baked, just like a potato.
Just raw, a raw cold
potato. Yeah.
Are you allowed to eat potatoes raw, or is that one of those things that makes you sick?
You can eat them raw.
You can eat them raw.
Hey Google, can I eat a raw potato?
Long answer.
Okay, Google.
Give me the short version, Google.
Everybody wants to be on a podcast. Oh my goodness.
What did Google have to say?
You can eat a raw potato. It's very high in vitamin C.
Guess who's gonna be trying out for the class of 2021? Google.
Google, stop.
Hey. Google.
Hey Google. Stop.
Stop.
Stop. Thank you.
Hey, Alexa, do you want to be on our podcast?
Kurt's holding his microphone over to Alexa. He's interviewing her.
She doesn't know.
Hey, Lamp.
Okay, thank God you said that like 1 second before I drink my pop, because I would have spit it truly everywhere.
By the way, also looking at the Team Penny, I think it's very telling that so many of the dishes for Team Kokosan were like so someone slash someone, or these two people together. I mean, you had a couple like Maria and Shota had some dishes.
Kurt, I said that already.
It might have been when I stepped away from the mic.
It was like 25 minutes ago.
Pocket dimension, you know?
Kurt, have I told you lately that I love you? is that sipping tequila?
It is now.
Oh my god, I hope so.
Oh, you went to get tequila. You went to go get sipping tequila.
Oh my god. You really are living the dream.
Oh.
Damn it.
For the third dish, Dawn made a seared scallop with Creole XO and ham hock broth. When she started just opening the packages of pre-sliced ham, was I concerned? Sure. Would
it was a ham hock, right?
Yeah, but it looked delicious.
No, I would. Please, don't think.
That's how I make my ham. I go to the store and I buy a ham steak, and then we throw it on the barbecue for 35 seconds, and then we call it dinner.
Yeah, I grew up on ham hocks. That's what you put in your greens to like make them. It's one of the many things that you can put in the greens to make them delicious.
I was thinking the same thing too when I saw her like kind of unwrapping them. I'm like, but what am I expecting? That she's going to like haul a pig in there and like butcher it?
Right. Like,
what's the alternative?
I want to see that. Just like get real Handmaid's Tale about it.
Handmaid's Tale?
Handmaid's
Tale. Coming to a drive in near you.
You can't handle the ham.
What is that a line from Handmaid's Tale? I've never seen the work.
No, that was Padma with the work.
Oh,
with the whip. She said, you can handle the truth.
That was so long ago, y'all. Like,
yeah, we still had Avishar with us.
Do you know how many things have happened since then? My God.
I do feel like this season started 5.5 years ago. Oh, in a good way.
Yeah. I'm fine with it being like a long, luxurious season. You're just drinking it straight from the bottle, Kurt.
Kurt's going to be slammed by the end of this.
Can't wait. I've been wanting to get drunk with the three of you. Two of you. Well, maybe I'm only
there. Someone's already drunk. That's the best thing ever. There's two of us, Latanya.
Unless you're talking about that ghost.
Google is not officially with us yet. And that's not who you're counting.
I told you all that one of the side effects of shot two for me is just idiocy. Like, it's just like, who's going to be a dumb bitch for a week? This gal. Anyway,
I did like how
salmon skin with pak choi, turnips, and hazelnut brown butter sauce. This sounded nice, but I wanted like a chunk of salmon. Like, this doesn't feel like four course.
No, everybody was a little. It seemed like it was, well, if we add the salmon skin to it, this will tie in with our theme. And everybody's like, we want more than skin.
Yeah.
And like Sarah's joke about, oh, we're having it for dinner later.
Eat it later.
I thought she was meaning that it was coming later.
I thought at first too, but no, it didn't come later in the dinner.
It did not. They're literally, that's what they had for like food later.
On my second viewing, she was very much meaning, oh yeah, we're having it ourselves.
Yeah. No, we're eating.
It's been a joking way, but funny enough.
No, we seriously are.
That was the most charm delivered for the entire service.
That's it. I feel that talking about this team is fueling my depression. Like, it just made me so sad to see this happen. It was a train wreck. It was like an obvious train wreck, and it was really sad.
By comparison, it was. But it's like you go back to Judge's table, and at the wrap up of even like, you know, the meal, like they're saying, we had two amazing dinner services, but one stood out for us. I was like, did you really have two amazing dinner services? Because I didn't get that. So by I think they enjoy. It seemed like they had negative things to say, but overall,
they tried.
Except for there was the Amar did say of Sarah's first dish, I don't like this at all, which you don't hear a lot.
No, especially not from him.
Yeah, that's when I knew like, oh, Sarah's in trouble. But
yeah, that was tough and loud enough to be heard.
Oh yeah, but there were. I wonder how much of the reaction shots from the kitchen was just like B-roll footage of somebody looking up.
I agree. Some of it was somewhere, but there was definitely a time when Gabe was like, "Don, what'd they say?" And she's like, paused for a second. I was like, "They like." It was the best
thing. It was they said it was edible.
Yeah. They ate it.
I have a theory
that has nothing. Yes. I'm sorry. What
sorry
if?
What?
I don't know. I just don't want to derail things.
Derail. We don't want to talk about this menu.
We spent the first 15 minutes talking about a murder mystery game I played in. So we're good.
Already forgotten. So I have a theory based on this and based on other like challenges where there have been like just a large amount of judges that Tom is maybe not so great around large groups of people. Discuss.
Oh, like a little bit introverted in terms of just where he draws his energy from. Because he does seem to shine during the like Last Chance Kitchen in terms of.
It's
more relaxed.
Just him. He's just like, hey, everybody, hanging out with me in the Last Chance Kitchen. You love it.
I buy that, actually.
I can see that. I actually watched, I think it was a few years ago because they referenced Top Chef 14, which I think is Charleston. But there was the Hot Ones on YouTube where they eat hot sauce on chicken wings. And it was the Tom Colicchio episode. I think YouTube is learning what I like. And they threw that in there. And I watched like the first 10 minutes of it because I'd never actually seen the Hot Ones show before. And yeah,
it was just a fascinating show.
It's just like I thought it was a competition, but this was more of an interview with him, just one-on-one.
Yeah.
And that's where I learned that he saved somebody from choking at a restaurant once. And it was just good to see kind of laid back Tom. So
just so many facets to Tom that make me happy.
No embarrassing headwear this episode.
No.
We can't wear a hat at the dinner table. That's what my parents always said, at least.
That's true. Taking sartorial chances, though, with the suit.
Yes.
I like it. Men don't, like, really put the oomph into fashion as much. You know, it's good to see some chances being taken.
I love a colorful suit. Also, his Grateful Dead joke was good.
His Grateful Dead joke was...
dish is like a Grateful Dead concert, needs more acid.
It needs acid. Write that down. That was funny. I mean, it was a real dad joke, but he doesn't start busting out the super dad jokes until Top Chef Kitchen, or like Last Chance Kitchen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For the fifth course, Chris made shrimp tortellini on brodo with seafood broth. Would I order this? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Can Chris not roll his pasta correctly?
Oh my God, stop making pasta.
I know, it's like, at a certain point, just, this is going to sound really mean, but at a certain point, just stop trying to redeem yourself.
If you try your fail miserably, the lesson is never try.
During like last week's second chance quickfire, was he one of the people? I know that, like, you know, Dawn gave her the dish from the first episode, which she wasn't able to saw. She took a second chance at that, did Kristen try making a pasta for that quickfire? Did he? But he's tried to redeem himself previously with
other
pasta. Yeah,
since this is the third redemption.
The first one was the beer and coffee challenge. He made some bad pasta.
Yeah.
I can't remember if he did it for the driving challenge as well, but he's tried a pasta since and it's not worked.
No, his ribs. He made ribs that were not good.
Oh, he did. Yeah, just stop with the pasta.
Stop.
The sixth course, Gabe made charred octopus with mole verde, squash, and serrano chili. I thought this was the most striking dish from this team.
For sure.
I think there was a brief clip of just kitchen montage where I just saw, this handful of tentacles. I'm like, oh, that's creepy, but like out of context, I'm like, oh, monster. But yeah, the dish, and this was the one where they said, like, this is the only real straightforward seafood dish they felt they got all evening.
Mm. But Kristen said it was bitter.
Was it the octopus or the mole?
No, it was
the octopus.
Yeah, it was the octopus dish. Whatever concept. Whatever.
Take two.
I think we broke Haley.
What? I don't know the word anymore. Component.
Kristen, get it together.
I was looking at our Google Sheet. I was like, I had to jump back to the window. I was like, is she frozen? Is she still there?
I sound like it.
That's a skill.
My words just failed me.
The real star of this season of Top Chef is mole, if I'm being honest.
We're on our 45th mole.
Well, he can make like 13 different ones, he said. But
Maria was like, this is one of my best moles. And I was just like, they all seem great, you know? So if this is the best one, I'm very excited.
For the dessert course, Chris presented us kelp ice cream with cocoa nib meringue, toasted hazelnut, and seaweed salt.
When you said meringue, it sounded like you said cocoa meringue.
I can't pull that off.
I don't know why you would have tried.
I wouldn't have tried.
I was hoping Sarah would get some bonus points here for suggesting the kelp element to it, but a little too late.
Sorry, Sarah. This doesn't sound that appetizing to me reading it, but the fact that Dale loved it so much, I would stick a spoon in it.
The hazelnut element, I don't know if this is technically correct, but it sounds like it would potentially like be the thing that brings the whole dish together. I don't know why.
No, I agree with you.
So I would have been
definitely would have, especially given the reaction people were having to it, I would have been all about trying this. They seemed like the desserts were like most of the stars of each of the courses.
People love this dessert. And that's when I was like, okay, well, Chris is fine, I guess.
I was very sad to lose Sarah here. I love Sarah. I think she's charming and joyous, and I really wanted her and Shota to kiss.
I know. Well, I also keep getting freaked out whenever they do. I don't know if they do those talking head like interviews early in the morning or late in the evening, but it freaks me out because it always looks like Shota has just gotten done crying about something. And so I'm just like, well, Shota's going home and I'm going to lose it. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do without Shota.
I was definitely this is also a situation where the losing team, the team I knew was going to lose, had three people from Latanya's draft and then Sarah. And I'm like, oh, Sarah's probably fine, right? Nope. I'm now down to one person and the other person is still in Last Chance Kitchen. Mm-hmm. Like, luckily, the silver lining is she beat Sasha. And as much as I like Sasha, if Sasha came back and won, I wouldn't know what to do because no one had her drafted.
Listeners would win.
What would they win?
That's bachelor rules.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
The listeners are already winning because they have us.
That's true.
But I was beyond thrilled that Maria pulled out a win here. I think she deserved it. I love her. She is just unbelievably charming.
She did a fantastic job, and you felt like you want to, like, you know, you feel like you want her to now have a chef's table, like restaurant.
Yes.
I want like to either go to Maria's house. She's like, I'm just treating you all like you're at my house. You know, I'm like, okay, let's all go.
Road trip to Tucson, baby.
She gets done and asks Padma to help her wash the dishes.
Yeah. I'm sure Padma would be like, yeah, let's wash some dishes. Sounds great. Everyone was gorgeous again. So
we're huge.
It's gotten to the point where, like, watching gorgeous people have fun and enjoy food, you know? Thank God for this show.
What would we do?
Pretty people eating. Sure.
Yeah, a concept.
Yeah.
Like, watching people actually eat food who, you know, like, are attractive. I don't know.
It gives me hope to maybe be attractive one day.
Yeah, me too.
I'm halfway there, yes.
I know. I got the food part, but yeah. let's get to the attractive.
I wonder if it would be... I'm wondering which would be more enjoyable. So let's say like there was a spare seat at these chef's tables and any of us got a chance to like join them. Would you be more about this food is amazing? Or would you be more about listening to people talk right next to me about why this food is amazing?
I would probably try and hit on one of them, if I'm being perfectly honest.
One of them? Don't lie.
Multiple.
Yeah.
You do need to kind of like tier your approach though, in terms of like, okay, I just got shot down by Melissa, so no, I'm gonna.
I don't think Melissa would shoot me down. I think Melissa and I would have chemistry.
Yeah, you don't.
Or am I making that up in my head?
I don't think that's just headcanon. That's probably true. It's also like, you know, I need a lot of confidence, liquid or otherwise, to like be like, all right, first and only target Melissa King. Let's go. You know, I'd just become a puddle of a person.
I would opt for liquid confidence. That always helps me, I find.
Okay.
Well, there would be a lot of tequila at that first dinner. That's
so for much tequila.
Chris just not even like sipping tequila out of a shot glass. No, he's
going for it.
Should I get a straw?
Yes.
That sounds danger.
I love it.
Okay, so this episode is great. I loved it. I was depressed at the end because I love Sarah, but I was thrilled because I love Maria. Koko-san probably had one of the best performances I've ever seen, just on Top Chef in general, not even just in Restaurant Wars. I thought this dude was brilliant. I thought their menu was stunning. I was really excited about the entire time.
They should start a restaurant together.
Yes.
Who? The four of them?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, okay, I thought, for some reason, I was like linking it down to like two people specifically, but okay, yeah, no, agreed. Yeah, no, they had a concept. And here's the thing, like last season where they had the pitch challenge and then they had to turn.
Yeah.
I would have liked to see a return of that, because I like everybody coming up with the cohesive concept first. That might have saved, if they could have done that as a, I wouldn't have been upset if this had been a two-part episode, where the first part was the quick fire, where you come up with a concept, and then prep, and then the second part is the service. That would have been kind of fun. But then I also think that in many ways, because this was the first time they had done this chef's table challenge, there was a little bit of kind of what's the challenge within the challenge, code cracking that was happening, and just Kokusan got it right away in terms of it's about the interaction. I don't think if they do this again, because of this episode, future contestants or chef testants are not going to fall into the same trap that Penny did. I think you're going to, like, everybody now knows at the chef's table challenge, you have to engage the table. And then you're going to get somebody like Philip from Top Chef California, who's just going to be like engaging in the wrong way and not reading the room. So I think that's what we're going to see the next time we have the challenges. We're going to see engaging banter, but we're going to see one table completely misjudge how that banter is going.
The Team Penny did have kind of people who aren't like super outgoing. Like, I guess the most outgoing person would be Sarah, but she was like very nervous.
Gabe, though, like, go back to the drive-in theater. Like, Gabe was like having everybody laughing when he was like announcing the different dishes and stuff. And he was serving up his bloody cocktail like this for the horror challenge at the drive-in. And it was, I think Gabe was pretty outgoing, but I don't know. Because I think there's one point where even I think the even Team Kokusan said the other team is more. Damn it, LT. I did not say that. Even like there was a pre-challenge or pre-actual service, the Team Kokusan was saying that the other team was much more outgoing. And then you had at the shopping at Whole Foods, you had Don saying that Team Kokusan was much more loud and you know, out there. So I think you had some engaging people and some not so engaging people on each team.
That's fair. Just like out of the two teams, though, Team Kokusan definitely had like the person that like multiple people who were like show people, if that makes sense, like that could entertain a crowd.
Yeah.
Whereas Team Penny, I don't know. Maybe they'd be, if they weren't so stressed about how everything was going and like pressed for time and all that. I don't know. You got to have a plan, people.
Did you love Kristen's, like, is she always like this about Jamie? And everyone was like, oh yeah, you haven't been here.
Yeah, you don't know yet.
This is her.
That was cute.
So you're thinking, Haley, that you don't want to get rid of Restaurant Wars. You just want to find a new way to work in the chef's table.
Yeah, because I do think, as much as I don't totally love Restaurant Wars, it is pretty integral to a show about chefs.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's just the conditions.
Yeah,
like they're so unrealistic and like hyper intense. No one opens restaurants under those types of conditions.
Yeah, you're right.
So,
yeah, I did not miss the service staff stress from Restaurant Wars.
I didn't either.
Yeah, and people don't know. I was happy to not have to have the like awkwardness of finding out who was like secretly mean to their staff. You know right. What I mean?
Yeah. I'm trying to remember who was like Grayson or something. I can't remember who that was in a previous season that was like just like really dressing down the staff, and it made Haley uncomfortable.
So Kurt, I happened to watch Last Chance Kitchen this week, but here's the thing. I don't want to talk about it. Not that I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to lead the conversation about it. You're so good at leading a conversation about Last Chance Kitchen. So have a header, bud.
Okay.
That's unreasonable.
No, that's fine.
Yeah. Like, let the man lead. That's thank new. You.
It's not thank women's you. Work, so.
Thank you, LaTanya. Yeah, three perfect bites. They had to make a three-course progressive menu
But each one had to be, each serving, each course had to be served in a small, like, soup spoon. It basically was like, it was almost like a three course amuse bouche sort of situation. So it was literally they got one bite and then that was it. It wasn't about like sitting down and taking several bites or something. That was the only guidance they had. They had to make three courses. And yeah, it was interesting because they started comparing the third courses, in which Sasha had made a flank steak with creamy caramelized onion puree, and Sarah had made wagyu steak with butter braised cabbage and shiitake mushrooms. Both sounded amazing. Mm-hmm. Sasha ended up winning that one. And then I kind of saw where things were going, because the second course, where Sasha made scallop with pesto and Sarah made scallop with celery root and caviar, knowing well that Tom loves his caviar, Sarah had won that one. And so I was thinking, why would they have started from the end unless the same person won the first two courses? And that ended up actually being the case. Sarah won the first course. So by making it sounds like a little bit contrived, but it's a soup spoon. I'll make a red pepper soup with fish sauce and curry, which beats Sasha's tomatoes with feta and lemon sumac vinaigrette. So we had Sarah winning two of the three courses.
They had other approved, apparently, other approved, like, things that weren't spoons. Because Sasha didn't just use spoons.
In terms of the serving container?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh, I missed that. Maybe it was just a judgment on the size of the serving. It didn't have to be served in a spoon, but it had to be the size of that. Interesting.
I'm gonna need these rules like written somewhere. You know what I mean? I need them codified.
Tweet Tom. He'll tell you.
No.
Could you clarify something for me, Mr. Colicchio?
One time I was curious as to which eyeshadow Padma was wearing, so I tweeted at her asking what eyeshadow it was, and she told me.
Oh.
Wow.
Did that make your day?
It did. Yep, it did. That's absolutely.
That's wow.
I did enjoy this Last Chance Kitchen challenge.
Yeah, Last Chance Kitchen is like, it's a whole different animal, but it's kind of cool.
I'm sad they reset the peanut gallery.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. We just saw only Avishar was there, and I think Avishar needs some friends.
He needs help.
There, yes. So Sasha will be there with him next week. I mean, that's the upside for Sasha, is that she gets to kind of still be in our living rooms or our laptops or wherever you're watching Last Chance Kitchen, I'm assuming, into the upcoming weeks, even though, I mean, she's not going to get back in the competition. But there's now seven people left in the competition. Would they typically bring somebody back when there's five to bring it up to six, or four to bring it up to five?
I think four to bring it up to five.
Okay. So
I think it depends, really.
Yeah, they might vary. Sarah, but she's got a few more cooks in front of her. In terms of like instead of sleeps, she has cooks.
Right. I wasn't sure if you meant she had like cooks the people or cooks the concept.
Because I would have referred to them as chefs, and I wanted to make clear that I was not calling them cooks.
True.
I'm
wondering if it's going to be one of those situations where I think, you know, Sasha kind of hit her stride. Like Tom seems to be like on his game when he's in Last Chance Kitchen, in terms of that's where he thrives as a presenter or a host. Mm-hmm. And we've seen some chefs, including I would say Sasha, thrive a fair bit when they're in this kind of more one-on-one competition, as opposed to, it's got a little bit of a different kind of vibe to it. I wonder if Sarah's going to do the same in terms of how she does. I think we're at that point where anybody that we lose is going to be a little bit of a stab to the heart, because all these people are awesome.
Yeah, especially if they're on my team.
Well, you're not going to make it to the final three without losing somebody. That's just a math based.
I'm whatever. I don't care. I didn't major in math. One of my favorite things I heard recently was someone be like, I'm hot. I don't do math. It's like, wow.
And I was gonna be like, what does temperature have to do with it? But then I realized what you were saying.
Tequila.
So what are you guys eating this week?
Just tequila.
Just tequila. I got a, so there's a, those who are familiar with Grand Rapids are probably familiar with the Bob, which is the big old building, which is like it's called the Bob.
Instead of Bob the Drag Queen, it's Bob the Restaurant.
Well, no, it's a big old building that has like seven or eight different restaurants and music venues and a comedy show or a comedy venue. And so I'd say like several of the restaurants are, I've never been there. I think they opened back up for service in maybe in like late March. But I went there for the first time to order some food, and I got some gorgonzola garlic bread, which was like a gorgonzola fondue. You had to dip the garlic bread in it. So
that just got better.
Cool. Oh, okay. I'll dip myself in that.
A chicken banh mi sandwich as well.
Oh, nice.
You could substitute pork if you wanted to make it a little bit more traditional. But I tried the chicken. Pretty good. Had the second half for lunch today. But yeah, so then there's a bunch of things there at the different restaurants that I want to check out and try. So yeah, that was, I think, the highlight for me. And I'm trying a new meal subscription. Yeah, these are like pre-made meals. Those will be delivered, I think, on Wednesday. So I should be able to, next time we record together, report back on how those went.
Hmm.
And then tequila.
Yeah. Mostly that.
How about you, LaTanya?
Y'all, I'm so boring. Like, so there's only certain things that work with my stomach food-wise. And so I just tend to stick to those things.
What's your favorite of those things, though?
I don't know that I have one, since I'm so boring. I had a really good salad. I know that, like, you know, not to get all Gabriel about it, but, like, I had a delicious salad that had, you know, some kale. I think I've discussed this salad actually before on this
kale podcast. Simmons?
Yeah. Kale Simmons, some, like, goat cheese, some beets.
There better be beets on there if there's goat cheese.
Yeah, we got the beet. And some...
With the go-go cheese? Oh, see, this is an 80s music reference, Haley. Meats by the go-goats. Never mind. Okay, continue.
Nope. It's like, nope. Or is it Kristen? Who knows?
Just amongst us.
And then it has like Mandarin orange, and it's got like a champagne vinaigrette.
I was going to ask what dressing was going to be on it.
Champagne.
There's a lot of salads in the area that they call it just a Michigan salad, which ends up being like apples, blue cheese, candied walnuts.
There are some candy walnuts in there.
Oh, nice.
Say it's, yeah, it's not necessarily specifically Michigan. It's the combo. I love me some, like, either a feta, a goat, or a blue cheese with the candied walnuts and some sort of like fruits
like
in there.
Like a pear.
Yeah.
I love fruit in a salad.
Yep.
Yeah.
Straight like strawberries and red onions, I like together in a salad.
Are really good together. Yeah. I had another different salad. That was that.
Yeah.
This is so boring. I'm sorry.
Do you have a favorite dressing?
I kind of go between, I really love balsamic vinegar. So I'm a vinaigrette person generally. And I kind of go between that and like whatever unique little house dressing is being offered that pairs specifically with the salad. I'm a big fan of champagne vinaigrette now. I just want it all of the time.
Red Lobster has a great champagne vinaigrette.
Really?
No, they don't.
We do. I love it.
No, they don't.
I'm a Red Lobster stan, though. What can I say?
I know.
It's okay. So is Beyonce. There was one more thing I was going to say, and then you made me start thinking about Red Lobster. Oh, it's weird because it's weird. That's why I forgot about it. I had a really good pickle.
Oh. Okay.
Like, I know that sounds weird.
What made it good?
It was a little spicy. It was a dill pickle, but like it was a little bit spicy. I've been eating a lot of pickles lately for some weird reason. Stop it.
Pickle life, right? Or something?
Sure. I don't know. Energy? Sure.
Dunkin's runs on pickles or something.
They somehow like they make you full, but they're like no calories.
Yeah.
And they're just kind of like delightful. There's several ways to eat them. The crunch is good.
There's a local, I think it's called the Old World Oil, olive oil company. They sell different, obviously, olive oils, but they also have a wide variety of vinaigrettes. And I've got like I think it's like a harvest peach vinaigrette and a caramelized onion vinaigrette. I'm a big fan of exploring the vinaigrette options that are available to me.
Give me a like interesting vinaigrette.
I think one of them is a, I think I have like a dark chocolate vinaigrette.
No way.
Yeah. Haley, while you report on your food stuff, I'm going to go check out my vinaigrettes and bring them on camera for those who are paying the $50,000 for that level of access.
I'm going to go check on my vinaigrettes.
I do love a maple vinaigrette. How Canadian of me, I'm sure.
Huh. I've never had that, but it sounds delightful. There are lots of things about Canada that sound delightful. So
come on down. I mean, come on up.
Come on down.
Come on.
Come on.
I'm pretty straight west of you right now.
I don't know direction, so I'll just let the pilot figure it out.
What did I eat this week? Well, by accident, I didn't skip a subscription box, so I got food delivered to my door, which is fine because we didn't have any groceries and we didn't feel like doing any.
Oh, lovely.
So we had tacos on Friday, which, no, yeah. What's today? Is it Sunday? Tacos on Friday.
I know that now.
Saturday, we had a nice salad. And then right before this podcast, I ate a really excellent sandwich. Actually, it was more of like one half of two sandwiches. One half was a brisket sandwich and the other half was a pulled pork sandwich. It was delicious. I had a great time.
It sounds delicious.
One half of two sandwiches is definitely the way to go.
I'd have to say it's probably the best part about marriage is that if you like the same foods, you can just split what you want in half.
Oh, right.
You get two different things at once.
Marriage seems to be like, you know, that bitch. Like, I might want to, you know, do that.
It's like not that bad, honestly.
Like, there's upsides?
Huh. To marriage?
Some.
So I've got a vanilla balsamic vinegar.
That sounds nice.
I've got a blackberry ginger balsamic.
Wow.
I've got a dark chocolate balsamic. So my nickname in college, I had the white huckleberry balsamic.
What? Your nickname in college was white huckleberry?
I'm kidding. I've got the ripe peach balsamic.
Well, it is now.
And then for you, Haley, I have the bourbon maple balsamic.
Nice. That sounds lovely.
So
I'm very into that.
I need to start using these more.
Yeah.
Because you notice most of these are full. But yeah.
Have you considered sipping vinegars?
Sipping vinegars? No, I'm not. I wonder if these mix well with tequila, though.
I bet they wouldn't be that bad.
Oh my God. Don't do it.
Do it.
Not now.
Why? It's the perfect time to do it. You have both. One little mouthful of vinegar, one little mouthful of tequila. Because swish around, any, swallow.
Because I don't have any glasses handy, it would literally be me like taking a swig of tequila. Uh-huh. And then while I'm holding the tequila in my mouth, trying to pour a little bit, and it would just, I'd spit it everywhere.
It would be like the Bloody Mary situation all over again.
It would be the Bloody Mary situation, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, I would say, I'll give it a plug. Check out the Old World Olive Company is the name of it. It's a it's actually the oldworldoliveco.com. Looks like they're based in Michigan, or at least they've got five different locations here. So,
well, the maple bourbon one did have Michigan on the back of it.
Yes, it did. Anyway.
So, Kurt, where can people find you on the internet if they want to find you on the internet?
You can find me at Kurt Clark with two C's. On all of your major and minor platforms, the Insta, the Twitch, the Twitter. Yeah. That's about it.
LaTanya, throwing your mic down. Literal mic drop situation.
Yeah. You can find me, getting confusing days and throwing my mic everywhere.
We didn't talk about that situation, did we? The fact that Latanya's texting Haley and I yesterday going, so is everything okay? And like neither of us responds. And then she's like, no, like seriously. And it's like she thought we were podcasting yesterday. I was like, nope.
Just got up for no reason, like all bright, bushy-tailed, had my tea. And I'm like, all right.
I'm ready
to go. Like, this is going to be great. And then, it's idiocy.
We appreciate your excitement to talk to us. Like, you're so excited to talk to us that you literally woke up early on a day you didn't have to.
Yeah.
And in a day weren't talking to us in hopes that you would.
It could have been great. You know, we could have almost had it all.
Is there anything that you're podcasting right now back or now? Or are you waiting for Loki to come out or what's the deal?
I'm low key waiting for Loki to come out. And you all are my only gig at the moment.
I think we're your friends, no other friends.
I love that. Let's make that into a hit. What would our band name be?
The Pepperettes. You both hate that. Obvious.
We'll actually let's put that out. If you've made it this far, in the podcast, tweet us with the hashtag Chef's Table band name. And we'll check out that hashtag later for ideas for like what we should name our three person band.
Mm-hmm. Three people total. You can find me. Is that what you asked? Like where you can find me?
Yeah, sure.
Or
yeah.
Were we just like, oh, we no. were just talking about my ineptitude. No. Right. Good Lord. You can find me on Twitter.com at LK Starks.
I forgot about that. The HTTP S sometimes going back.
Yeah. S sometimes. I tweeted way too much about gymnastics yesterday. It was a whole problem.
No, that was perfect for me because I was able to understand what was going on.
Oh, good.
I loved it. I was beyond thrilled.
Thank you.
To be honest with you.
Thank you. Anytime. I was just like, I'm about to lose some followers. Let's go.
I was like, how can I follow Latanya twice? Like, should I start 3 burner accounts and just follow her?
If everyone wants to do that, to just start burner accounts and follow me on Twitter.com at LK Starks, I would be okay with it. Have enough followers on Twitter.
Yeah, like take the energy you would put into following Latanya on Instagram and instead make a burner account to follow her again.
Exactly. And then eat a baked potato.
Or just a nice dollop of Greek yogurt on top. Yeah.
No chives, nothing. Just
You know what? My chives are ready. My chives are ready. My herb.
Yeah, they are. I was just agreeing with. I meant nothing by that, other than the fact that I was agreeing that your chives are ready. That was not a euphemism for anything. I was just. These chives are ready.
I'm a married woman, Kurt.
Don't make improper advances toward a married woman.
When you get to the podcast, go to Ethan and go, Ethan, these chives are ready. Just let me know, like, how does he interpret that?
I think he'd be like, please do it. What are you saying?
We are the ready chives. Thank you.
It's funny. I think I've actually known Kurt for longer than I've known that guy I live with.
I don't know what that says about either of you, but okay.
That we've been doing this for far too long. My name's Haley Strong. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at @hstrong_, or check out my Bookstagram at The Strong Library. And I joined Rob Sestrinino and Lindsay Wilson this week to talk about Survivor Africa. What a time we had. We had a great time. We laughed for hours. I went to
just all late. Of Africa? I'm sorry. It was like the whole of Africa?
The whole season of Survivor Africa.
Actually comments on that.
I did mention that it's unfortunate that it's called Survivor Africa, not Survivor Kenya, because that doesn't really show much about it's like a very tiny part of Africa. I do touch on that.
Okay. I'm sure you would.
And I was really happy to see that you guys released into two parts. I think that was a smart decision, and well, I hope that continues.
Yeah, because I had to go to the bathroom halfway through. So.
Oh, yeah.
So if anyone is listening to the Top Chef podcast and listened to the Survivor Africa podcast and complained that it was two parts instead of its usual, literally 4.5 hour, one part, then you can blame me directly because I had to pee. It was a great podcast. Blame. Even if you didn't watch Survivor Africa, probably listen to it.
It's the season that stands out most in my mind, often because I was watching it. I was living in Chicago at the time. And Latanya, you might be familiar with Bruin View at the Vic Theater.
Yes.
And so typically they'll show like three back-to-back movies. You pay like $5 to get in, and there's like cheap ass beer, and you just like watch films. But back when Survivor Africa was airing, they would show back-to-back. No, you had to, I think there was like a 2-drink minimum, but there wasn't a cover charge because they couldn't charge people to watch TV. But it was Survivor Africa followed by Temptation Island on the big theater screen with everybody drunk in the audience. And it was the episode, it was the swap episode where Silas went home. And when the swap happened, everybody was cheering. It was actually a great moment in my like watching Survivor memory because it just like stands out. So I remember where I was during that instrumental episode. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. It's a different show.
I mentioned it on the podcast, and I think that watching Survivor Africa at such a young age was probably the reason I ended up marrying some dude named Ethan.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so check those out.
I see what you did there. You're making fun of me for being Canadian again, aren't you? Okay, pack your knives and go. Bye!
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.